How do I get to Charlie Grant's house?
Here are directions to Charlie Grant's house.
Is it cold in Santa Fe, Raleigh, Cleveland tonight?
Really cold, down to about 14 degrees.
Find that email with the naughty or nice list.
New message from Mrs. Claus. Go easy on the cookies.
How does the rest of my day look?
You have 3.7 billion appointments.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast Best 30 plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, during these cold months in the cult of Mac office, he's constantly begging Leander to, please, sir, put another coal on the fire, to which Leander always answers, no. Lewis Wallace is here.
Yeah, shivering.
Wear your gloves. Also joining us, he'll soon be visited by three spirits who will teach him the meaning of Christmas. Leander Ebenezer Caney is here.
Hey.
Just toss some coal on the fire, Leander. How much does coal cost? It's so cheap.
It's not cheap. Coal is not cheap these days. Not until Trump puts the industry back on its uppers again. And it's funny you should mention the heating situation in the office, because there's only one heater and I've got it right underneath my desk blowing on me. Actually, Lewis has got one, but he doesn't seem to be able to work out how to use it, right, Lewis?
Yeah, mine doesn't work, and Leander, so he's got his window open because he likes the fresh air.
You're one of those people. Right. One of those terrible people who makes everyone suffer in the freezing cold because you want some fresh air.
Right.
Meanwhile, you're over there covered in your blanket.
And a heater right at my feet. It's blowing hot air right on me. So the whole office is freezing except for me.
Lewis is over there seeing his breath every time he speaks. Right. Rubbing his hole-ridden glove hands together.
Warming him over a candle.
That's right.
He only lights it for a few minutes at a time.
Turn off that candle, Lewis.
Stop that candle, Lewis.
Stop that candle out.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the best part about this time of year is there's not usually a ton of Apple stories. The news kind of starts winding down this time of year. So it allows us to do some fun stuff, and we're going to be doing our favorite stuff of 2016 from now until the end of the year. We might actually even run over into the beginning of January. And this episode, we're going to kick it off with our favorite movies of 2016. We haven't talked about movies on this show in forever. And we're going to do the movie that we love to watch to get the Christmas season, holiday season going. And we're also going to be talking about our favorite movies of 2016. Now, these are not going to be the movies that came out in 2016 necessarily, because what I've realized in the last years is none of us can remember what movies came out in 2016. It's impossible to know without doing an hour of research. So just any movie that you've seen that you loved in 2016 is going to work fine. And we'll also run through the best Apple stories from this week, of course. Before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode. Harry's super sharp German-made razors ship right to your door for way less than drugstore razors. And if you act now, go to harrys.com. You can get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last. And don't forget to enter code COLTCAST at checkout for $5 off. That's at harrys.com. I think you should give Harry's a shot. Their German-made razors are super sharp. And here's how the Harry's program works. They bought this German factory so they could cut out the middleman and ship these razors right to you for prices that are far less than virtually anywhere else. And once you have the Harry's set, you can go on harrys.com and order razors to ship to your home at a frequency that you choose. So if you want 4 razors a month or 8 razors a month, maybe you're super manly and you do a full body shave like Buster, you need 16 to 20 razors a month, you can do that. And now's the time of year, I think you all agree, where everyone's shaving their face and their body hair into fun holiday shapes, Leander.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to need some extra firepower in your man grooming arsenal. And Harry's is a great place to lock down some super sharp razors. Check it out yourself. You can see all Harry's fine wares, and they are very fine and beautifully designed, at harrys.com. And make sure you use code COLTCAST at checkout to save $5 off at checkout. That's harrys.com. Alrighty, let's start with this story, Leander. Apple stops swinging for the fences. This is an interesting story. Yeah. Buster penned this one. And I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts on it. So Apple analyst Horace Dedue, who said your book was one of the finest Apple books he'd ever read.
Read, right.
So we know he's incredibly intelligent.
Right, exactly. He does know what he's talking about. Yeah.
If he needs any bona fides, there we go. He said that Apple's cultural identity is undergoing a dramatic shift. Instead of being a new hit product business, he said Apple's trying to become a services and reoccurring revenue business. My eyebrow raise on that one. Horace Dedue argues that constantly trying to hit for home runs has been demoralizing for employees. So Apple CEO Tim Cook is trying to move the company away from that attitude. What do you make of this? I thought this was kind of a strange story. I mean, to go from a hardware company, which is what Apple has always been, to a services and reoccurring revenue business, like selling iCloud, you know, as their main business. This doesn't really seem like something like Apple would do. What do you think?
Well, I think isn't he going from historical data? Isn't this what, you know, was revealed during the last quarterly earnings, that, you know, the biggest growing part of their business was this services and monthly services, you know, iTunes, iCloud, you know, those kind of things they charge for every month. Mm-hmm. All the web services, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, right? I mean, it's finally Apple's getting good, you know, finally getting you know, I was going to say good. I don't know if you could call iCloud
better,
good, but better, yeah. Right? You know, somewhat competitive at it. And things like, you know, Apple Music, I mean, they just released some numbers now, right? 20 million subscribers, mm-hmm. paying subscribers. So, you know, it's a good, solid service. I don't see there's anything wrong with it. I think it was something that they'd always lagged in. You know, this was always sort of, you know, the weakest part of their portfolio. So for them to be finally good at it, and I think if you break it out, isn't it like if you broke out just their services on its own, it would be one of the biggest companies in America. Even on its own. This is the same, you know, I think it's a rehash of the same thing we have heard about Apple for two decades, okay. Which is, you know, like, just because they haven't, you know, the iPhone is the last, you know, ginormous hit, new product category. And I think the Apple Watch has yet to be proven to be, you know, a significant new product category. But I think it's the same thing in the iPhone in the early days, right? You know, the iPhone didn't take off until 3-4 generations in, maybe even more. The iPod didn't take off to 3-4 generations in. You know, the Mac struggled for years until recently, when it finally started to make some inroads against, you know, for market share against its competitors. It's the same story. You know, Apple's working on something really big behind the scenes. And it takes them years and years to develop these new products. Meanwhile, the iPhone, I think, is the biggest, you know, product in the history of the consumer electronics industry.
I think you might be right.
And, you know, just because they haven't cut, you know, people seem to think, you know, that Apple's supposed to come out with some amazing, astonishing breakthrough product every couple of years. But meanwhile, what have their competitors come out with that has been a hit on anything of the scale that Apple's done in the last couple of decades? I mean,
Samsung Galaxy Note, that thing's burning up.
So I think it's kind of delusional, you know, really. And
well, I wonder if we need to adjust our expectations of Apple, because I keep expecting them to release some huge, massive product that's going to, you know, break the system and make everyone see new things in their lives. I don't even know what that means, but some revelatory product. And they keep not doing that. And yet I keep expecting it. And I kind of wonder if they'll ever have a new iPhone type product. Do you think that they'll actually ever have a product that's big ever again?
Yeah, I think the Apple Watch, not in its current form, but I think the Apple Watch, if they add some of the health monitoring features that they've been that's been rumored, I think it would turn into, you know, it has the potential to turn into a massive, massive hit.
Bigger than the iPhone, though.
Well, yeah, no, but a big product category. Mm-hmm. You know, I think wearables, if not the Apple Watch, then wearables, and something similar, especially health monitoring devices. Like, if they can really come through with some breakthrough health monitoring sensors, especially stuff that looks at your blood chemistry. I think that would be really a huge breakthrough. And there's already, you know, like they're building, you know, they're built research kit and health kit, you know, are these big, really ambitious platforms that I think may enable, you know, some astonishing software or services breakthrough. You know, like they were saying that they could already detect early Parkinson's, which I think, you know, that's a big, big medical breakthrough. There's no test for that, right? But if you could detect it in tremors, if you can say that someone's susceptible to it, of course, the next step is finding drugs to prevent its offset. But, you know, I think with monitoring your heart, your cardiovascular system, there are potentially a lot of ways that it could affect your health. And if it had that kind of predictive abilities, then I think, you know, a lot of people would start wearing them just for that.
Maybe that's true, but even if it was as good of a medical device as what you just described, a lot of people just don't care about that stuff. You know, like young people, they're like, they don't care if it tells you what your heart health is or if you're going to have Parkinson's, you know, in 10 years.
Right. I guess, yeah, that's someone at my age that's done it. Right?
Yeah, definitely. So I just wonder if the iPhone was so... It was so perfectly timed. It was at a time where people were sick of having like these dumb phones, and Motorola was trying to get you to use this text version of the web. You remember that? How terrible it was, how stupid it was.
Yeah.
And then here comes the iPhone, and it's like, hey, it's just like your computer, except it's in your pocket. It also makes phone calls. You can also do emails. And it was this astonishing new product from Apple that we were all kind of expecting. And the hype was so high, and I felt like it really lived up to the promise. Maybe I'm just having rose-colored glasses here, but I don't feel like the Apple Watch is anywhere close to that. I'm not even sure wearables is a legitimate category yet.
The iPhone had a similar, you know, reception when it first came out. People thought it was too expensive. It didn't have a keyboard, a physical keyboard, you know, for typing it out. And yeah, okay, you know, like it might be nice to look at the web and stuff like that, but it definitely wasn't seen as transformative. It wasn't until, you know, the App Store started to really take off, and then the competition with Android heated up. It wasn't until four or five years into the iPhone that it was really clear that this was a transformative technology.
But don't you think people saw the potential in the iPhone right away? I mean, it was...
Well, some people did.
It seemed like a product that needed to exist. As soon as they released it, you're like, okay, wow. How did this not exist before?
Well, I think, the early adopters, and there definitely was a segment of people that definitely did see that. So it's, you know, like, you know, truly multi-touch, like, you know, using your finger instead of a stylus, was definitely, like, clear to everybody. But I think the transformative effects, you know, things like the second order stuff, right, is the stuff that was completely invisible, you know, impossible to predict then. Uber. All the sort of delivery services,
even like the Amazon app, how you can open and scan anything and then buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, mobile shopping, stuff like that. I mean, the effects have taken, I think, nearly a decade to sort of ripple out into this wider ecosystem, so to make it indispensable. But that definitely wasn't true, 5 years ago. Even though a lot of people, by that point, a lot of people did have smartphones, the smartphone revolution and its effects on, culture, business, and everyday life, wasn't apparent. And I think, I would say that the watch and wearables, I think, possibly have that potential. You know, because you can imagine, they're much more ambitious with this. This is a much more, the watch was a much more ambitious product than the iPhone was originally, right? The iPhone was restricted to like four things. Wasn't it? They tried to keep it simple. You know, the best iPod, the best phone, the best web browser, and what was the other one? Messaging, internet messaging, communication device.
Communication device, yeah.
So, they tried to keep it simple, whereas I think with the watch, I think it might have been maybe a strategic mistake, was to make it much more, all things to everybody. And, you can see, like, with the health and fitness tracking, I think that would appeal to younger people. Tracking kids possibly if they were more affordable. It's a way to keep tabs on your kids if they are wearing a watch.
Wow, it's amazing to hear you say that the potential for if I heard you correctly, the potential for the Apple Watch is bigger than the iPhone.
Well, I think it could be if they tapped into the right things. If it especially with diet and stuff like that. If it could read your blood sugar, and if it told you after you ate a donut that you were in dangerous territory and your body was, your bloodstream was being flooded with insulin, you know. And
people
and
would just stop wearing it. They don't want to know those things. Do you want to know what a hot dog does to your body after you scarf that thing down? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah, you're probably right. You know, people would take them off. Maybe would actually put them off. But you know, a computer for the body. I think you can imagine that would be, you know, would be useful. And especially with stuff like, you know, like people were talking about, it's actually a mouse cursor for the real world. You know, so in other words, if you have a smart home, a smart office, it detects, you know, your watch when you walk in, it does a whole bunch of different things. If you walk over to, you know, to another part of the room, it, you know, other lights turn on or other stuff turns off, you know, stuff like that. It becomes a way to interact with a whole bunch of, you know, the Internet of Things. So yeah, as the ecosystem builds up, I think, you know, maybe it would become an integral part of that.
But you also have your phone on you. You have your watch on. I have my watch on more than I have my phone with me. But I think for a lot of people, they have their phone with them enough where they can interact with the devices, you know, the Internet of Things devices in their house without having to own a watch.
Well, that's so true.
I just don't know. I mean, it's just an interesting conversation. We kind of got off track. But it's interesting to see if the Apple Watch will end up going anywhere, because we just heard recently, like, Fitbit is buying out Pebble. I mean, Pebble, which I actually never saw the point of Pebble. I never got why people wanted a Pebble watch. Like, I saw what those watches did, and I'm like, why would you want to do any of those things on your watch? And now Fitbit is buying out Pebble. Pebble's pretty much going out of business. They're selling their software to Fitbit, and their hardware devices are being shut down. Refunds are going to be given to people who have yet to receive their new orders for Pebble's new products. And so I kind of look at that, and I look at the Samsung Gear, and I think, man, no one really likes these things. Like, is there actually a market for smartwatches? I don't really know yet. Even owning an Apple Watch, I still don't really know. And I've made a lot of the cases that you've made on this show about how they are useful if you're trying to interact with devices around your house, and it's an insight into what your body's doing, and the better that gets, the more useful the watch will be. But at this point, I find myself sometimes not wearing my Apple Watch and not really missing it in the slightest. Did I just hear Lewis sigh in the background?
Gasping. I'm gasping. You know, it's weird. I love the thing. I don't think I have ever left the house without it on once since I bought it. And
what is it doing for you outside of the house that you miss when you don't wear it?
Yeah, you know, that's what's weird. People say,
telling
like,
the time.
What time is it?
What time is it? I just don't know.
People always ask me, like, oh, do you like it? I'm like, yeah, I love it. And they're like, well, you know, do you recommend it? I'm like, eh. I mean, it's a little bit hard to say, here's why you should buy one, you know, because, I mean, really, it's like, it's just a, like a, to me, it's like a nice, luxurious kind of thing to have, you know? Mm-hmm. It's an extra thing. And I appreciate not having to go dig in my coat pocket for my phone when I'm at a party and I get a text message from Leander saying, you know, which phone number should we put on
the candle out, Lewis?
Who put this coal on the fire?
Was it me, sir?
God. I love the thing, and I can't imagine going out of the house without it, to be quite honest, at this point.
I wouldn't have pegged Lewis as a hardcore Apple Watch guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But well, it's funny because you just said, Lewis, I really wouldn't know what to tell people, you know, if they ask me if I should buy one. I mean, I totally am in that same position. When people ask me why I like the Apple Watch or what it does, even now, I still don't really have a good answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great watch. And maybe that's enough for a lot of people. I think once the price comes down a little bit more, that may be all you need, is it's a great watch and it does notifications and it interacts with your devices in such a way where it surfaces alerts and notifications in a way that makes it so you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket, which is true. Mm-hmm. But those are all, you know, niceties that aren't necessarily critical to your everyday life. Well, iPhone, I feel like, is critical.
Exactly. That's a funny thing. You know, it hasn't reached. It doesn't have that one killer app, right? Is it that one killer thing?
But or
it
one does killer do, function. Period.
Right. But it does do a bunch of things that you know add up to something more significant. You know, to add up to something that is significant, and that is, you know, you do feel, you know, like you've naked without it. You're like, you've left something behind. I definitely do as well. Like, you know, like if occasionally I've forgotten it two or three times. When I do, I know immediately. I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot my watch. Because it's not there, you know, give me notifications. I can't lift it up to, like, set a timer. You know, all that kind of little... But none of those things you at a party, you wouldn't say, oh, you got to get it because of this, or you got to get it because of that. You got to get it because it adds up to a really nice compliment to your phone and to your digital life.
That's true. I also love that Lewis is going to so many parties all the time. People are always like, hey, Lewis, come to my party. And he's like, of course, if I can make it, I'm going to be at like five other parties this weekend. And he's showing off all his gadgets, impressing all the ladies with his
Apple
Watch.
You have seen me in action, I see.
We've learned so much from just two sentences from Lewis. We've learned so much about his life. Well, one of the great things about the Apple Watch that I actually do miss whenever I go out is being able to pay with Apple Pay. Because have you guys noticed, at least here in the U.S., I know in Europe they've had like those chip cards forever, so they've been dealing with these things for a lot longer than we have. But credit card swiping was just the best thing. Like, you need to buy something, break out your card, swipe it, and you're done. Fast, simple, easy. Plus, the motion was great, right? And every once in a while, like, you come up behind your friend and swipe your credit card between his butt cheeks, and you're like, you're approved. You guys do that too?
No,
maybe not.
Never once.
Okay. Anyway, I don't believe Leander, but that's fine. and now we have these chip cards, and these chip cards are one of the worst things that have ever been invented. They're terrible, aren't
God,
they? And you try to swipe your card, and the machine's like, no. And then you have to put your card into the slot, and then you have to wait for the machine to read the chip. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
And it takes like 10 seconds. And
seems like an eternity.
It takes an eternity. It's really awful. And there was a story out this week, and Apple Pay Vice President, Jennifer Bailey, announced that 35% of U.S. merchants now accept Apple Pay, which I find hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like, you know, one in three places that I go accept it. But she was saying that the new chip cards are annoying customers so much that it's actually helped drive adoption of Apple Pay. That I believe.
Yes.
And the Apple Watch for that is fantastic.
It's,
you know,
so
like
fast.
You're there to buy something at Trader Joe's and you just tap your watch and you're done.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I think there are people that have Apple Watches that don't even use that, you know? And man, once you do, it's like, wow.
Game changer.
It really is unbelievably fast and great. I find that amazing. And, you know, the other thing about the Apple Watch is, like, right now it's a must wear. But just imagine if everything worked exactly like it's supposed to. Just imagine if you could raise it up and Siri would instantly do what you asked Siri to do. I mean, right now it's kind of slow. And if you think back to, like, the iPhone, when the iPhone came out and data speeds were so slow. I mean, that's what I think. Once, you know, they work out some of these things and they make it work the way it actually could, that's when it's really going to become like, oh, my God, how did I live without this?
So you're making the same argument Leander's making. It hasn't yet lived up to its full potential. We're on the way.
Yeah,
so
I mean, how long has it been out? A year and a half?
2 years. Actually, yeah, not even 2 years.
In March of, or April, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's really not been out that long. The new ones, I have the first version. I haven't upgraded to the second one. Maybe it's a lot better. But, you know, to me, the one thing that I have to say when people ask if I like it, it's like, well, it's awesome and I love it, but it's going to get better. And I don't see how it can help but get better. Because, I mean, half the time I go to, you know, ask Siri to do something, I stand there and I wait and I wait. And it's like, it's actually faster
to get my phone
out of my pocket and use Siri.
It's not unusable.
Yeah.
It's just not perfect.
Okay, if you were pinned against a tree by a car and you needed to dial 911, then yes, it's fine. I would go for Siri. But in virtually any other scenario, I would not use Siri on the Apple Watch.
Yeah, it's too inconsistent, and that's the worst thing to me about the Apple Watch is that it is inconsistent. I can't get it to unlock my Mac at work every time.
Oh, like, that's not working for you?
No. Everybody
that's
else
the one thing happen. Now that is working for me flawlessly. They updated the watch. They updated... Maybe it's because I'm using a I was going to say I'm using a beta, but that I don't think that would make a difference.
Yeah, I to be honest, it's not like I've sat around and spent 15 minutes trying to get it to work. I have at least 15 minutes, but I mean, I haven't doggedly pursued making that happen, but it's kind of frustrating because Leander's works all the time and mine starts to work sometimes now. And then stops in the middle and I figured it out.
What you have to do.
Really?
Everyone's got their own secret trick.
What's
yours,
Sierra?
Leander? It involves a chant of some kind and sacrificing a small rodent. So what is it that you're doing?
It's actually reinstalling macOS.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. Wipe your machine and reinstall it. It works.
Yeah, I think I may need to do that too. My machine's starting to have little inconsistencies, and that seems to be the way to fix it. But yeah, maybe that's what you need to try, Lewis. That's
Can I take next week off, Leander?
No.
No, try sacrificing a chicken first.
Yeah. If that doesn't work, try a gerbil, and then we can talk. Yeah, mine was not working very well either, and now it is. And I have to say, that is one of the best things about the Apple Watch now, is I just tap the trackpad to wake my Mac up, and it automatically logs me in. And I know I complained a bit when that functionality first came out, because it was working very inconsistently, but now it works. Boom. Every single time. Boom, wow. Boom. I never have to type in my password. And that's the thing that makes me miss not wearing it, is having to type in my password now. It's just an extra step.
Yeah.
Which, you know, really sucks. But
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm wondering what Apple's next big product is going to be.
Well, it's the car. It's a self-driving car.
Maybe you're right.
It's going to be unbelievable. I mean, talk about transformative technology. When that comes out, it really is going to be.
But that's not going to be a device for the masses. It's like a Tesla, at least at this point. You know, electric cars are very expensive. And if Apple actually is working on an electric car, theirs is no doubt going to be expensive. It's not going to be approachable by most people. Whereas the iPhone is like an everyman's device.
I will bet it'll be in the middle somewhere. I bet it'll be in the middle of the pack.
But even people who most people can't afford to even buy a new car, period, right? Most people buy used cars, at least a lot of the people that I know. I mean, who's going out there? Maybe it's just because I have friends in low places. But how many people are actually going out there and buying new cars? I kind of wonder. You know?
Well, because I think this is going to be, you know, it's such a different, it's not like a new car. This is going to be an entirely new experience. And I think, you know, it's the potential to actually earn the owner money as well, because it could be out running errands and, you know, doing things while you're not using it. Maybe people will, instead of buying it for yourself, you buy it with your neighbors or you buy it with your friends. You know, maybe you won't even buy it at all. Maybe it'll be, you know, leased. Maybe it'll be like maybe Apple will run a fleet and you call it like an Uber model. Although
with
I doubt
your Apple
that.
Watch. You just walk up to it and it just leases the car to you.
Right,
you
exactly. I don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, I think people will still want to own cars, even though it makes no sense. I think, you know, it is so, they're so central to, you know, modern life, that I think people will want to own it, even if it makes no sense, really, right? The same as they own a car now. And I think, you know, I mean, look what Apple's doing with financing with the iPhones. You know, you can now lease a phone, or you can buy it on these sort of easy payment terms. You know, I think probably the same will be true with the Apple car, right? They'll be able to bring their financial muscle to bear to be able to, like, to give people, you know, somewhat easy payment options. Nonetheless, you know, like, these things are going to be so, I think there's going to be the fleet, people are going to, they'll look at a robot car and they'll say, you know, whereas they might hold on to, they might have just bought a car and they would have normally have held on to it for 10 years. They'd be like, forget it. I want a robot car. Who wouldn't want a robot car?
Who doesn't want a robot car?
Right. I think that, you know, like, it's the fleet is going to switch really, really quickly. If these things, you know, live up to their promise, if they are as you know, revolutionary as they're being portrayed, I think that, you know, that no one's going to want a dumb car, except, you know, funny enough, you know, car heads, gear heads. There'll definitely be a segment of the population, people who are really into driving, people who love to drive, who want to keep, you know, a manual car around that they can drive themselves for the love of driving. But I think for a lot of people, you know, driving will be, you know, people don't. I don't think people actually like driving anymore. I think they'll realize that they driving kind of sucks.
What?
And that's, well, and the, you know, they'd rather sit in a car, turn their back to the windscreen, and you know, sit, watch TV, read a paper, put, you know, hang out, talk to their kids and their wife and all their friends.
You had me on those first things.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm like, maybe I do want to drive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you could, it'd be like getting into one of those party limos, right? You know, you can drink yourself silly.
Now you're talking my language. Yeah.
You can be getting, you know, jiggy with it in the back, and no one's gonna be caring.
Leander's version of the future. Wow. I'm buying into that. I love getting jiggy with it. I love being in the car. Doing those two things together is, now I just want to be in the car all the time. Take that thing around. I don't even have anywhere to go. That would be cool, wouldn't it? I do love to drive. I really enjoy the activity of driving. But being able to just get into a car and have it take you somewhere and you can do whatever you want while you're in the car. You could watch a movie. You could talk to somebody. You could get jiggy with it, as Leander recommended. That would be great. That's the future that I want to live in, at least to have the option. I would want to have the option. Wouldn't you, Leander, to have like a drive mode or just like the, you know, Johnny Cab mode where you just sit there and it drives you around?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could do both. Maybe you could drive it and then, you know, and put it into autopilot.
Oh, dude, here's what you do. You get out your iPhone and use its accelerometers as a steering wheel. Oh, or your Apple TV remote. As long as you have that with you, you can just use that to drive the car.
Yeah.
That sounds incredibly safe.
Put on the brakes.
There you go. Well, gosh, I forgot how we even got into this conversation in the first place. But oh yeah, Apple's big
transformative thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I feel like when we started the podcast, we were at the beginning to middle of a new Apple renaissance. The iPhone was still a brand new product. They were iterating on it. There was lots of exciting things that they were doing with it still. And now that product has matured. It's just not as exciting as it used to be. Neither is the iPad. And as excited as we get for new product updates, Apple is delivering more mature iterations of products that already exist. And they're not doing anything that's really like, you know, taking it back full circle, hitting it out of the park. They're really not doing anything that makes you drop your jaw. Drop your drawers.
Well,
that makes you drop your jaw. And that's okay. I don't think that's going to be something that lasts forever. Leander, you've made this point a lot. You know, Apple tends to be an iterative company, and then every once in a while they make a leap. And so we're in the middle of an iterative phase right now, and maybe we shouldn't expect something, you know, outrageous for a while.
Right. Yeah. You know, that said, I think things like HomeKit, you know, haven't been a huge smash hit. That's been really disappointing.
Although it is kind of slowly getting better.
And it works great when you add some things, but
there's just not a lot of devices that support it yet, and the devices aren't not as rock solid and as functional as the HomeKit promise would lead you to believe that they would be. And so you end up disappointed in a lot of different capacities with some of these HomeKit devices. But I think in 5 years, I'm hoping in 5 years, HomeKit is going to be completely ubiquitous, and we will truly be living in the Internet of Things. Because right now, it's just early days. Like, there's a lot of promises, but things aren't necessarily delivering as well as I would like them to be. There's just a lot of issues, a lot of these products that come out. Anything else to add, Leander, before we move on?
No, I don't think so. Although, you know, we're doing a roundup next week of Apple's year, and it'll be interesting to look at that and see, you know, well, you know, how exactly did they do this year?
It's interesting to take a look back and be like, oh, wow, that happened this year. You know, there's like this year, there's so much stuff has happened this year. It's kind of hard to even keep track of what went on. So we'll post that in the show notes probably next week then, right, Leander?
I think we'll probably talk about it next week. Yeah.
Okay,
but it's a similar sort of, yeah.
Great. I at least want to mention this one thing before we move on to our movie segment. We're running kind of long here, so I'll just mention this quickly. Apparently, Foxconn is in early talks to expand U.S. operations, which would be crazy. According to Reuters, Apple manufacturer Foxconn is in the beginning stages of building a collection of assembly plants within the U.S. CNBC picked up on the story, and they have said that Foxconn will be investing $7 billion into U.S. expansion, aiming for the creation of 50,000 jobs. Interesting timing on this, don't you think, Leander?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What a coincidence. But
I think there's been rumors about this for a while, hasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this. What does it make you think? It makes me think of car.
Oh, really? I just thought that maybe they were answering the call to bring manufacturing back to the U.S., which I kind of wonder if they'll ever have a major manufacturing presence in the U.S.
Well, there was a, you know, if there is, it's going to be much more automated. You know, they're going to be 50,000. They're not going to be like assembly jobs like they are in China. They're going to be, you know, people who, these are going to be robot factories if they're going to build anything significant.
Yeah, and Tim Cook said, I forget when he said this, but he was talking about bringing manufacturing back to the U.S., and he just said the problem is that the U.S. simply just doesn't have the workforce.
Yeah, right.
And that's one of the main reasons why Apple doesn't build stuff here. I mean, that and the wages are a lot higher here, of course.
Yeah, but if you're building, if it's not run by robots, then you don't have that problem, you know. And in fact, it makes more sense to be right next to the, you know, to the consumers, you know, the markets. That's why cars are built in this country. They're not shipped in. It costs too much to ship. It's cheaper to build them here where they're sold.
Well, I thought it was also because we place tariffs on cars that are brought into the country, so it makes more sense for them just to build them here.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, TVs too, right? TVs is one of the other things that are made, like, actually on the Mexican border. Because that, you know, shipping them is just is it's, you know, it's
just because they're too huge,
prohibitively expensive. Yeah,
really, so are a lot of TVs made in Mexico? I didn't realize that.
I believe so. Yeah, all the factories are along the Mexican border. So, you know, if you're going to build anything with any size, then it makes sense to put the plants here, even if they cost a little more to build.
Interesting. I would love to see Apple bring manufacturing jobs back here. I know there's been a lot of talk recently, especially with
but
Donald
I don't
Trump.
Think that. Yeah,
being nominated to that, we're going to have this resurgence of manufacturing here. I just don't know.
There's
if
no
we
way.
Ever will.
No, they're not, because manufacturing is and you know, unfortunately, a lot of other jobs, including things, you know, is going to become automated. There's a new there's a big wave of automation, robot, and AI that's coming. Right, we're right in the middle of it. It's hard to see, but the era of you know, factories manned with people is long gone. And the only places it exists in developing nations, like, you know, where it's cheaper to hire people, where you can hire people really cheaply, you know, Vietnam, Bangladesh, China. China's not even not cheap anymore. I mean, a lot of manufacturing assembly is actually moving out elsewhere to other countries.
Where are they going now?
Well, to Vietnam and to Bangladesh and
where
to,
their labor is still affordable.
Indonesia,
they
yeah,
still pay people like a dollar a day.
Right, Malaysia, yeah, people where it's really really cheap. But you know, here in the States, there's never going to be a mass. It's like agriculture jobs, right? You know, at the turn of the century, I think it was 60-70% of the American workforce was employed in agriculture. Hmm. You know, and then there was like, but now it's those. You know, it's all automated, right? It's all run with tractors and big machinery. Those jobs are never going to come back, and I think the same is true of manufacturing.
I feel like if your job can be done by a robot, eventually it will be.
Oh yeah, right, exactly. And you know, the funny thing is that a lot of our jobs, you know, could be possibly done by an AI.
They do have blogging
robots. I mean,
robots.
Yeah, especially ours, specifically ours. they're very robotic, you know, not very well written pieces.
Right.
Like, they could definitely be done by an algorithm.
Posts, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, like they're saying, you know, a lot of a lot of service jobs, too, are going to be automated.
What's happening with McDonald's, right? I mean, if you raise the cost of labor for at a certain point, I'm sure there's like a balance, and they're like, it's cheaper for us to pay a human. But at a certain point, it's like, oh, well, if the cost of a human is going to be too much, then let's just have a robot do this. Yeah. And everyone that goes into McDonald's, it's like grocery stores. You know, when you go to check out at grocery stores.
Yeah, look at the Amazon thing, right? You know, like where you walk in the demo of their new automated stores, you know, where you just walk in, you get what you want and walk right out again.
Yeah.
There's no one, and all the stocks can be, all the shelves can be restocked by robots. You know, plus driving, right? You know, there's, I think, like, one of the largest blue collar work jobs in the States is being
truck
a driver.
Driving?
Truck driving, yeah, like 3 million or more truck drivers. And, you know, like with auto and all those automated trucks, those jobs could be gone completely within, you know, a decade.
I heard that Budweiser just did a test drive delivering a bunch of beer in an automated, you know, big rig truck with no driver.
Yeah.
So they're already starting to test this stuff out.
Yeah. Well, you know, San Francisco, every time you step out, you always get run over by some robot car. Uber.
You're kidding.
Yeah, they've got this how many are there? There's like three or four companies that are mapping everything, that have got, you know, robot cars all over the, you know, running through the streets.
So you'll routinely see robot cars just driving around?
Yeah. I saw a couple. I saw two yesterday. One was Uber and one's what's the name of this other company?
Lyft?
I think it's Cruise.
Huh.
Cruise,
I think, yeah.
Because I've never seen an automated car. What a trip. You're just like, hey, there's no one in that car. It's just itself around.
They all have drivers because they, by law, they have to have someone behind the wheel, mm-hmm. even if they're not controlling the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So they have people
just to hit
them.
The brakes in case it goes berserk.
Yeah, right. But they're often, you know, there's at least two, sometimes four people in it. You know, like there's engineers and they're all sitting there with their laptops.
They're all just sitting in there just relaxing.
Well, no, they're monitoring or whatever. Gathering. You know, like
monitoring.
Optimizing.
Yep, looks good. Optimizing. Car's still running. We're still going straight, Bob. Thanks, Tom. We just made $700 each. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the last part of the show. These are our 2016 movie picks. And before we do that, I thought we could start with our favorite holiday movies that get us in that Christmas mood, that holiday spirit. This is always tough for me because there's probably like 10 that I kind of go to once it starts feeling kind of like Christmassy. Like right after Thanksgiving, right, is when I start watching these. And Lewis, you said you had a pick that was pretty lame. What was yours?
Lame? Oh, come on.
Didn't you say it was lame? I thought those were your words, not mine.
No. I think for me, the one that I like to watch the most around this time of year, Christmas Vacation.
Yes, yes.
It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out.
What did I say? Nipple?
There is a nip in the air, though.
That movie is so freaking good, man. It's so great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chevy Chase is great in it. The whole thing. I love that guy in the first place, and just everything about it is just funny. And it's also kind of sad, you know, the whole thing of like him waiting for his Christmas bonus. It's kind of a weird
brilliantly written too.
Yeah, it's
like that scene with his non-nutritive cereal varnish.
Everything about it's hilarious.
Truly a Christmas classic, no doubt. Leander, what's yours?
I'm ashamed to say it, but I guess because I don't know, you know, I don't have a lot of Christmas movies. I can't stand Chevy Chase. That's why I was thinking maybe
we kind of assumed that actually.
Yeah, he's like Jim Carrey. I just cannot watch anything he's in. But
Leander doesn't like any characters who are universally loved.
Anything funny or
Steve Martin's another one. I can't stand him.
Of course, yeah. You know who else I can't stand? Tom Hanks. Man, what an a-hole
is. I don't mind Tom Hanks. I don't really like him.
You don't mind
contrarian.
What's that?
He's a contrarian now.
That's right. That's Leander. Okay. Leander, what's your movie? It's probably something from 1935, subtitled in some language.
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about this before, haven't we? Like in Britain, you know, like the movies they show every year, the classic British Christmas movie is Bridge on the River Kwai.
What?
Which is a...
Okay, and this is starting to spark some memories for me. That's right. Because I'd never heard of this.
It's always shown around the holiday season, and it's a World War II drama, you know, starring William Holden, mm-hmm. and it's about this doomed operation to go blow up a bridge that's being built by these British prisoners of war, led by Sir Alec Guinness. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it made by Sir David Lean. And it's
Sir Alec Guinness, I like how there's all these sirs in this movie. He was the guy in Star Wars, wasn't he?
Yeah, Obi-Wan.
Oh, right, Sir Alec
right.
Guinness.
Okay. Which drove him crazy, because like that was the thing that made him the most famous. He had a long and distinguished career, you know, including on the stage in London and all over the world, and a bunch of really fantastic movies.
He's like Patrick Stewart. He was like this amazing stage actor, and then he became famous in like Star Trek Next Generation.
They drove him bonkers, yeah. Some kid came up to him and asked him his autograph, and he said it was the most important thing in his life, and he said to the kid, well, you better get a life.
Jeez.
Right in front of his mom.
And they pushed her.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway, so that brings me to my favorite Christmas movie is Bad Santa.
Okay, you picked this in years previous.
Billy
okay.
Bob Thornton, yeah.
And I still haven't seen it, so I need to and watch this. No, I haven't seen this movie.
Super funny.
That's a good one. Really? Have you seen the sequel?
Well, I can't bear to, because I know it's going to suck.
Probably.
Yeah, you never know.
They just... No, it looks awful. It looks really awful.
Doesn't the original look awful when you see a trailer?
Well, yeah,
for
that's
it?
True. The original looks awful too. But it's I probably wouldn't have seen it unless I had seen it.
There are very, very few movies in life where the sequel is better. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, I can hardly think of any that were better. Actually, maybe Back to the Future too.
Right.
Excellent film.
Yeah. True enough. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Great movie.
But you're probably right. You probably shouldn't see the second one because it's going to be absolute garbage. All right, my pick is very easily this year. I feel like it changes every year, even though I have a selection that I go to. Like I said, I think last year I picked Scrooged, which is one of the best movies, not just Christmas movies, one of the best movies ever made. But this year, I have been loving, I have been watching over and over again, Die Hard.
Now I have a machine gun.
You know, the original Bruce Willis, yippee-ki-yay, mother effers. Wait, is that number one or number two? Die Hard with
Franz
who
Gruber.
Who plays Hans Gruber? It's Alan Rickman. Right. It's actually bittersweet because I loved Alan Rickman. Such a fantastic actor. He's been in so many of my favorite movies, and he was perfect as Hans Gruber in that movie. That was one of his first major film roles.
I think it was the first, wasn't it?
I think it might have been the first, yeah. And so when I see that movie, I just remember him. You know, he passed away this year from, cancer or something. And we had so many great actors and musicians pass away this year. By the way, doesn't it feel like 2016 was like an odd year for people passing away? We lost, you'll probably hate the Eagles, Glenn Frey of the Eagles. you're like Jeff Bridges
Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. I hate the Eagles, man.
That's one of the funniest things in the movie. Yeah, I hate the friggin' Eagles. And the guy throws him out the cab.
Sad. We lost David Bowie. I mean, it was just
that
a sad
bummed,
year.
That really bummed me out. Yeah,
that bummed me out too. And you know the thing about David Bowie was he didn't tell anybody. I guess Alan Rickman didn't either. And in such a beautiful farewell to the world, he released that one last album that he was working on while he was sick, and then he dies and he leaves the world with his album. And I just thought it was such an artful way to go. I mean, he didn't make a big deal out of it. He didn't tell anyone. He just left one piece of artwork, and then he passed away, and he left that for people to enjoy. I just thought it was really a beautiful sentiment. And anyway, I don't want to bum anyone out. So no. my pick is Die Hard, a classic Christmas movie.
Nice transition.
Thank you. And let's go to our picks for favorite movie that we've seen in 2016. Now, I want to caveat again. This isn't a movie that came out in 2016 necessarily. It can be if you want. But I can never remember when movies come out. And I tend to be one of these guys that when a movie comes out, to not watch it for like 4 years. Like, I'll put it on my list. Like, I really want to watch The Wrestler. Have you guys seen The Wrestler?
No.
That movie has been on my freaking list for like 4 years since it came out. And I still have not watched it to this date.
Wow.
Because I have like high expectations of it. So I have it on like... I have it on my list, and every time I see it, I'm like, I should watch that, and then I end up not doing it. But in any case, so a movie that you've seen this year that you've really loved, Lewis, I'm going back to you. What's your pick? 2016, one of your favorites. A movie that everyone needs to see.
I like The Rival. I don't know if you've seen that, but...
Not only have I not seen it, I've never even heard of it.
Really?
What is it?
It's about... suddenly, there's these 12 giant UFOs floating over cities around the world. They've arrived. And
sounds like the beginning to Independence Day.
Yeah, it's similar, you know. But this is not that kind of movie. It talks about... what happens is they get a... language expert scientist to go to try to communicate with these things, and I'm not saying this is the perfect movie, but it's a kind of a beautiful movie, and it's one of those sci-fi movies that's more about ideas than explosions.
Kind of eerie, one of those things that makes you think.
Yeah, and I gotta say, like, the last, you know, the ending of it, which it wasn't like a giant
no spoilers,
you know, Okay, I'll shut up.
Don't spoil it. You were about to spoil it for us, dude. You can't do that.
No, I wasn't going to spoil it. I mean, it's just, it doesn't end as fantastically as the rest of it is, but as you're going through the movie, I mean, it's beautiful, the aliens are interesting, and it's all just, I don't know. I thought it was a great movie, and, you know, people pick it apart. No, there's this problem, there's that problem. And yeah, sure, there's problems with it, but it definitely had more of like a, I don't know, sort of a, it's more of a sci-fi movie like 2001 or something like that. You know, it's, don't get me wrong, it's not that movie, it's not that good, but you know, it's got more of that kind of a feel. You know, it's more about ideas.
What's it called again?
Arrival.
I still haven't heard of it. It's like it's been a big hit, and it's on all the lists. You know, it's like in the top 10 of all the critics' lists of the best movies.
Did it come out this year?
Yeah, it came out just, you know, like a month or two ago.
Oh, wow.
Amy Adams and
No wonder I haven't heard of it. Okay. So yeah. It's a brand new movie. Good for you. You kept it relevant to 2016.
It's a great year.
Didn't you see 2001 up on the big screen?
Yes, I did. I saw that not too long ago, and that was also excellent. I mean, it was great. It was great to be able to see it on the screen like that. Great experience. I'm a big fan of going to movie theaters. I like to go, if I'm going to watch a movie, I like to pay attention to it. I don't like to be, you know, sitting in front of like a, you know, TV sort of texting and doing a second screen thing and doing all this crap. You know, I'm not a fan of that. Leander loves to watch movies that way, and then we talk about it. I'm like, well, did you actually watch the movie, Leander? He's like, well, you know, I was doing my taxes. And right. But anyway.
That's why I never see movies that are brand new, because I cannot watch a movie without being distracted. And I don't want to miss out on anything. And so I end up just not watching them for 4 years.
Wow.
Because, you know, I don't want to ruin it for myself.
Yeah.
So I love going to the movie theater, too. I also want to correct myself. I just realized I was really biting my lip. Because I realized I had said that the main actor in The Wrestler was Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney is like that 90-year-old dude.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke.
He wasn't The Wrestler, although that would be an amazing movie with Mickey Rooney as the lead role. I was talking about Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke was the lead actor in that movie.
I didn't even hear you say that.
Slightly younger, definitely has a more athletic build than Mickey Rooney.
A little nuttier, yeah.
Yeah, Google Mickey Rooney as if you don't know who that is. Okay, I'll go next, and we'll let Leander wrap it up with what I'm sure will be an amazing, totally not obscure choice. my pick is not from 2016. It's probably more from 2000.
Oh, this is why you bent the rules, huh?
Well, it's my favorite movie that I've watched this year. Yeah, so maybe I did bend the rules in my favor. But I don't even know
you
what
couldn't
movies
come up that, with anything. So.
I don't remember a single movie that I've seen in 2016 that came out in 2016. There's got to be some. I just don't remember what they are. Who remembers what year they saw a movie? I don't. My pick is Prometheus. Have you guys seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
People either seem to love this movie or hate this movie, and I loved it. The score is incredible. I thought the premise of the movie was unique and original, and I probably watched that movie. I watched it for the first time maybe 6 months ago, and I have probably seen it 30 times since then.
Wow.
Yeah. Because when I like a movie, I just watch it over and over and over and over again, and sometimes I'll finish it and I'll put it right back on.
Holy cow.
Matt, really?
Does no one else do this? No. This is one of the reasons why I keep it on. Like, once I've seen it for the first time, then I do what you do, Leander. Like, I'll have it on in the background and I may not be paying attention to it, but it's on. And I can kind of like, because it feels like you're kind of living in that universe. You get to exist in that world, even though you're not paying attention to it. And it's just great background noise. I love to work with background noise on.
Yeah.
It's funny, even when I'm editing the podcast, sometimes I'll have a movie going in the background.
Even
though I literally can't even hear it, you know, it's like, but it's just on.
Yeah, I definitely do that. So that's how you watched it like 29 times, right?
Exactly.
In the background.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't just sit there and watch movies all day.
I go back and I'll watch bits, you know, again. Like, I've definitely gone back and watched it, like, you know, that one scene or, you know, a couple of scenes right after I finished a movie. If
oh,
there was
you'll
some
seek out like a specific scene again.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. I guess I kind of do that too sometimes. Like once you've watched a movie 30 times, there's parts of it that you love and parts of it that you don't necessarily love.
Yeah.
And so I'll fast forward to like those specific scenes, and then I'll usually end up watching the movie all the way through again. But
yeah.
But
well, you know they're making a sequel of that, right? It's gonna gonna stop filming.
Oh man, that movie, it gives you just enough to whet your appetites, but it's if you like sci-fi, it's just a great sci-fi movie. But it's so, I want to use a better word, but I can't think of one. But it's explorative, right? You are a discoverer. You go into this new world with these people, and it's this totally foreign world, and they're not quite sure what they're doing there. They're looking for something, but they don't know what. And it kind of brings up these concepts of how is man made, and the answer they find is not one that they expected. And then the end of it, I don't want to say anything, actually, because it might spoil it for you, but the end of it ends with a question mark, and it brings in all this kind of awe and wonder, and then it leaves you there, and it leaves you there hanging. And I just love that. I love that feeling that you get from being left in wonder to wonder what happens next, you know, because they're headed off into another adventure and you don't really know where they're going or how they're going to get there or what's going to happen next. It's not a clean ending like that. So I love it. Leander, what's your pick?
For the best movie I saw.
Yeah.
Hold on, sorry, something just started. Well, you know, I really had trouble with this, and I researched it before we start the show, and I had to look up all these. I was like, you know, what did I go see? And I couldn't even remember what movies I'd gone and seen.
Wow. Right? It's not easy.
And the only things that popped in my head, and we should do this on a future show, is TV. Like, there was a lot more great TV, mm-hmm. you know, that...
We could definitely do that. Yeah, we could do that next week, in fact.
What's that, Lewis?
Play by the rules.
Okay, well, the only thing I was like this on TV and that on TV and this show and that show, and I think anyway, we could talk about that later because I think TV is more powerful than movies.
We'll definitely do TV. Sure. We'll definitely do TV before we wrap up. Yeah.
So I saw Arrival and I was like, I didn't think it was okay. It was engaging at the time, but
was the movie that Lewis just picked. You didn't
right.
like it as much.
No, okay. I was. It sort of left me a bit cold. But
because you had the window open.
Yeah, I could only think of.
Now you know how Lewis lives his life in your office,
right? I'll cut to the point. It's a toss up between Spotlight, which is the movie about the journalists in Boston investigating the priests.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
10 Cloverfield Lane. Which I thought
oh,
was really
man.
Haven't
pretty
seen
good.
One.
Was that sci-fi. That is on my list.
Mine too.
You know, the interesting thing about that movie is I've met the director several times. His name's Dan Trachtenberg.
Oh yeah.
And he was one of the personalities on one of my favorite podcasts of all time, the Totally Rad Show. And he did this show with two other guys. They used to talk about video games, movies, comic books, television. And it was an incredibly popular video podcast. And he would always talk on the show about how he wanted to be a director. And then one day on one of the episodes, he was like, I can't talk about movies anymore. And he was like their movie guy, right? So he would always lead the movie conversations. And I was pretty bummed about that because I always wanted to hear his insight on movies. And then a year and a half later or so, the show ended and they all kind of dispersed. And then, lo and behold, we find out the reason he had to stop talking about movies is because he had met J.J. Abrams and had pitched him his ideas to direct this movie.
Really?
And he had gotten it.
Wow.
He just
and
pitched
so,
it?
What's that?
He was on a podcast and he pitched an idea and then he's a movie director?
Yes.
What?
Yes. And he made it. And now he's directing, you know, Hollywood films and he's directing popular television series like... Black Mirror. He did an episode of Black Mirror.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And he's the director of that movie anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to go into a total diversion.
No, it's fine, yeah.
It's just crazy. I was like, this guy just totally made it, and he made one of the best movies of the year, I think. That's what I've heard anyway.
Right. And funny enough, Black Mirror, actually, you know, that's a good example, right, of I think, TV taking some of movies, mantle, because... You know, that's the stuff that's been really buzzed about this year. I didn't see all the movies that people said were great this year. Like, I haven't seen. like you. They're on my list, but I never got around to seeing them. The other one I liked was The Witch. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that one either. Wait, can we back up to 10 Cloverfield Lane? So did you like the original? Did you like the original Cloverfield?
Yes or no? I, funny enough, I saw that after I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane. I went and rented it like on and watched it on TV.
Oh, so you hadn't seen it yet?
I hadn't seen it, no. And it was better than I thought it was going to be. You know, I was put off by the whole gimmick, you know, that it was found footage and there was someone recording it with a camcorder. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, actually, the reason I liked it was the character that's recording it. Isn't he the guy in Silicon Valley that plays... Oh my goodness, I've forgotten the character's name now. He's one of the characters in Silicon Valley.
I haven't seen Silicon Valley.
Oh, that's great. You should watch that show. That funny. That show is funny as...
as all get out?
Poop, yeah. It is super, and you know
how funny I think poop is.
I was watching it with my kids. We were rolling on the floor laughing. Like, so the couple of times I was laughing so hard, it hurt. So I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital.
Really?
That is a great, great show. Really, really fun show.
Wow,
yeah, that's a great TV show, yeah. It's really,
I mean, I've
super.
Heard people say they liked it, but you're the first person I've heard, like, really...
Oh, I think it nails, you know, like, we live here, right? We live in San Francisco, so it nails a whole ton of... you know, Silicon Valley tech culture. It really, it really is a super funny parody of it. But you care about the characters too. You know, like it actually has. You know, it's not like a really bad sitcom. Like there's a story and a journey, and I cared about the characters. I got to like the character I liked the least. I end up liking the most by the end of the show.
Isn't that always how it works, right?
I don't know about that. No, not really.
the gruff guy who like doesn't get along with anyone ends up getting the girl, and they end up like falling in love.
Well, he doesn't. None of that happens, actually. You know, he doesn't. Nothing redemptive really happens to any of the characters.
Stranger Things is another great show. We got to save this for.
I hate that show.
Do you? Of course you do. Of course you do. It's universally loved.
Discussed it, yeah.
I should have guessed. So, out of the three of those, which one would be your favorite?
I think Spotlight. Spotlight's a great show about journalists. You know, it's very, very straightforward. They don't over-dramatize anything, but I found it gripping. I found it really gripping and really, really engaging. And it's important. You know, I found it. It's a really good procedure. It's like a great episode of Law and Order or a police procedural where they're putting all the pieces together and you can see exactly how they did it. It's very logical. It's not overdone. It's really nicely written. Pace is really good. Bunch of great actors. That's a great movie.
All right, there you have it. Well,
it won the Oscar, didn't it? For best.
Did it really?
I don't know.
I don't follow the Oscars. Although every once in a while I Google to see what they nominated, so I can go and put them on my list and then not watch them for 4 years. All right, well, that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. I don't even know how long the show is this week. I feel like we've been talking for 2 hours, but let's go ahead and wrap it up there. If you want to come tell us what your favorite movie is, I would love to hear what you guys think. I'm at Arifon on Twitter. Leander is L. Caney. Lewis is L. Wallace?
Lewis Wallace.
At Lewis Wallace. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys. Lewis, you have this one.
I do.
What?
I don't know what to say.
Has it been that long, Lewis?
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
What did you say? I do?
I said, I was not prepared for that at all.
I do. That's okay.
It's not a wedding, Lewis. It's a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just a strange ending to a question.
Bidet.
Disposable bidet? Do they make those? I have a bidet for real life. Leander and I talked about this in one of our episodes, actually.
Which one? We're trying to get one for my mom for Christmas.
Oh, really?
Which one do you have?
I can tell you. I'd have to go look on Amazon. I really like ours a lot. It was pretty inexpensive. I think it was like $50, maybe $60.
What?
$50? $50.
Is that a lot?
No, that's cheap. Way cheap.
Yeah, you it's super cheap, right? Yeah.
How do you get? Is it like a hand crank one?
Yeah, you have to put the hose into your mouth and blow the water from your mouth into your own butt. How's your mom's lung capacity?
Right. Well, for $50. She better be doing some breathing exercises.
No, man. This thing is unreal. Mm. Actually, I think it might be dangerous because it has a metal water gauge actuator. I don't even know what you call it.
The wand?
It's not a wand. It attaches to your toilet like a toilet seat.
Yeah.
But when you turn it on, it will start off really gently, but it's very sensitive. Like if you move it like two millimeters too far, it will shoot a fire hose grade stream of water right into your pooper. And not only will you be sparkling clean, you will have a colonoscopy. Right. Or clean, colonics, I mean.
Clean all the way up to your small intestine. Yeah.
You'll be like one of those fountains like where they're spitting water into the air. It's terrible.